All right, we have Anarchist Tom in the studio, and he wants to talk a little bit about who the CIA is killing now. This is Free the Land for July, what is it, 21st?
It's the 22nd.
22nd, 2013. Okay, Tom, what do you got for us?
Well, a story that I've found particularly interesting recently is the Michael Hastings car accident, which happened on June 18th. He was a Rolling Stone journalist who covered Stanley McChrystal, the head of Joint Special Operations Command in Afghanistan, somebody who had a long background in black ops, and was responsible for Stanley McChrystal ending up fired from his position. But
the power of the press.
Yeah, yeah. And recently he'd been right about to do a story on this company that's possibly the most secretive private company, you know, there is, or, you know, at least, you know, it's as secretive as, you know, any other company I've ever heard of, called Endgame Systems.
End Games?
Yeah, Endgame. No, okay. Just not plural, single, but
okay, Endgame Systems.
Mm-hmm.
Can I buy stock in them?
I don't know, actually.
They're probably not publicly held if they're going to be secret.
Yeah, yeah, probably not. But, yeah, it's staffed by people with CIA backgrounds, and it's basically a cyber attack company. It identifies things called zero-day threats that could be on, like, you know, basically the computer network of any major facility. So really,
a zero-day threat means, like, an immediate threat. Is this, like, they're protecting against threats, or they're going out and screwing up people's...
It's basically it's a vulnerability that... isn't even known usually to the software developers themselves. It's
so they probe other people's stuff to look for weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah. Something that's not known to the general hacker community or the broader public, and that's uncorrected in the software. And what they do is they basically drop a menu of all the computers on a network. So if it was like a hospital or a nuclear energy plant or an airport or, you know, or a university, they have a, you know, map of all the computers, and you can click on that, and then it'll draw, you know, on an individual computer, it'll draw up a list of all the software running on it, and then it lists all the vulnerabilities the software has so that a cyber attack could be launched. And that's what a zero-day threat is. It's just a vulnerability, and since people haven't discovered it yet, they have 0 days to deal with it.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure, I mean, other countries are doing the same. I mean, they probably look at other countries' websites, right?
Well, definitely. I mean, just based on the revelations from Prism, the U.S. must know, you know, pretty much, you know, I mean, the U.S. has penetrated, you know, the intelligence.
Everybody's doing it to everybody.
Yeah, all the
it's routine
major powers. yeah. But,
of course, the minute you got Microsoft running, I mean, it's just riddled with vulnerabilities.
And an interesting thing about Endgame is that there's actually no regulation on who they could sell to. You can get 25 zero-day threats for $2.5 million. So theoretically, the way the market is right now, anybody with a few million dollars to hand over could be the recipient of these like security vulnerabilities.
That kind of leaves out Commander X, though, because him being homeless, I don't think he has a few million to throw around.
Most likely not.
But he is wanted and on the run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting figure.
If a homeless guy could, you know, cause he was on national news and bring it down system, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, you know, that shows you how vulnerable they are. You can imagine what kind of vulnerabilities, like, you know, a high-powered company with all kinds of employees always probing can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it's something that another journalist named Barrett Brown had been looking into, and he's now facing 105 years in prison. And I think his mother and his brother... Or no, his mother, and it was another activist, I'm thinking of Jeremy Hammond's brother, just recently got arrested, but his mother is facing charges for just holding a laptop at her house, and he's facing 105 years in prison for, like, copying and pasting a link? To an IRC chat, yeah. Or to an IRC. So, yeah, it's pretty outrageous, and there must be something going on with Endgame. There was also, like, a little bit of a clue that Michael Hastings might have been looking into David Petraeus also, the former director of the CIA, who probably got taken out by the NSA and you know, sort of like a managed scandal to shift the leadership.
Well, we were just mentioning earlier that, you know, You know, the FBI used to have, back in the, before computers had all the inside dirt on everybody. But now we all know that the NSA has inside dirt on anybody, and they can blackmail anyone they want. So they're actually above the CIA, because they could blackmail the CIA at any time they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And yeah, there's a whistleblower named Russ Tice who came forward several years ago, actually, but he's given more information since the PRISM scandal. And he said that President Obama himself, while he was a senator, and yeah, probably, you know, possibly up to the present, you know, a lot of his personal records have been breached by John mm-hmm. Brennan, a lot of classified information mm-hmm. about him, which could potentially be, like, used against him.
Yeah, well, now we know why he's acting like a Republican instead of a Democrat.
Yeah, exactly. That explains the political dysfunction, probably. Uh-huh. You know, all the people on the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, probably people outside of those also in Congress, the Supreme Court, federal mm-hmm. judges, they're all being blackmailed.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, like, a systemic thing.
Now, when they killed this guy, how did it happen?
Well, he was, for some background, he hadn't had a drink in like 10 years.
What's
or
his name again?
Years. Michael Hastings.
Okay, they can look it up on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was known as an extremely careful driver. He was out driving at like 4:30 in the morning or something in L.A., and his car suddenly accelerated, and then without leaving any skid marks, it accelerated to like past 100 miles per hour or something is the estimate some people gave. And then without leaving any skid marks, it made about a 60-degree turn and went right straight into a tree. And people that were on the scene actually reported hearing like an explosion before the car hit the tree. And when the, you know, fire department and police got there, the car was, you know, in flames in a way that would be completely unnatural for a car fire, and they just stood out automatically, mm-hmm. just, you know, as visually, like, you know, what on earth could cause a car to just burst into flames like that? And then hit, you know, the firefighters and police that were on the scene were put under gag orders, and his body was actually cremated.
Gag orders, yeah, there it is. You know, I mean, why do that? You know, mm-hmm. unless there's something dirty going on.
Yeah, exactly.
You can never cover up the cover up is the thing.
Yeah, I know. It just makes it worse.
It makes it obvious. You know,
yeah. When, it's like with the FBI assassination they carried out against the, you know, the person from the Boston bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was so ridiculous. Everybody else leave the room. Oh, I feel threatened. I got to kill him.
Yeah. But anyway, this reporter, Michael Hastings, his body was cremated explicitly against his family's wishes.
As if the fire didn't do it, you know.
I heard that he was so, like, charred by the fire that it took a while to officially identify him, and then the body was cremated,
So there may be some poisoning involved, then, if they want to cover up to that extent, you know.
Maybe, yeah. And all, you know, they're the technology to do a cyber attack on a car that would take over control is already there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
somebody from the administration, the Bush administration, came forward, named Richard Clark, and said, yeah, that would obviously be within the abilities of the intelligence community.
So you don't want a new car. If you're going to drive a car, drive an old one. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, if you put in a CD, that's one of the things. If the CD is programmed the right way, it can actually take over the system. Maybe that's a clue to what happened, and maybe there was like an additional explosive device or something.
Well, they like to be sure, you know. I mean, he might walk away from it otherwise. So that's probably why there was a second bomb. And just like the Kennedy assassination, they had multiple levels of shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just an interesting story to me because, you know, it raises the question, if he was assassinated, would it even have been illegal? You know, if you were investigating a company, you know, that's, the big secret is that, you know, like, the U.S. doesn't care about national security, and it allows, you know, people that are terrorists to cross borders very freely, and it knows, you know, virtually everything the so-called Al-Qaeda, you know, organization is doing, you know, all over the world.
Well, they the existence of Al-Qaeda justifies a huge budget for them, so, you know, guess who benefits by there being an Al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. you know? It's the
intelligence agencies
in the military.
On the argument that he was aiding enemy combatants or something, you know, assassinating him might not even have been illegal. It could just be something that was...
Just embarrassing.
Just an embarrassing thing.
On Abu Ghraib, the only people that went to jail on that are the people that revealed it, you know? Uh-huh.
And it was actually part of a special access program, which was like a highly classified operation called Operation Copper Green, which, you know, explicitly authorized the torture, and it was very widespread.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's pretty well documented at this point, you know, like several years after the fact, that it was actually part of Operation Copper Green, but people just hear Abu Ghraib.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, just the fact that you know, I think it was like Lynn England and one other person were, you know, the only two people to face repercussions. It's kind of ridiculous, especially since they're at the very bottom of the command chain.
They don't get the guys at the top ever. And this is not the first time. I mean, there was like some deaths around that INSLAW software that was going to be able to track, you know, all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the U.S. I mean, the U.S. definitely assassinates journalists like Daniel Pearl. He was looking into the, you know, the fact that, you know, the head of Pakistani intelligence, who was meeting with, you know, the CIA, all, you know, in the month before September 11th, including on, you know, the morning of September 11th, was, you know, the financier behind the attacks. You know, that was the story Daniel Pearl was onto, and he, you know, he got abducted probably by Pakistani intelligence, obviously with the knowledge of the U.S. and killed. And a lot of reporters in Iraq, you know, that chose to be, you know, so-called unembedded reporters were assassinated. You know, there was like a missile attack or something on a hotel where a bunch of mainstream reporters were. There's Gary Webb, who wrote the Dark Alliance series and supposedly committed suicide by shooting himself in the head two times.
Was this... Well, the one over here in San Jose that revealed the coke dealing by the CIA, he committed suicide too, right? Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly by shooting himself in the head.
Oh, this is the guy.
Say,
okay,
yeah.
I can't remember the names. I just remember what happened.
Yeah, and there's somebody named Philip Marshall who was going to write a... He'd written a couple books on September 11th, and I guess he had a background flying planes, which might have been kind of unique.
Give a good perspective on what's possible.
Yeah, and... he allegedly killed both of his kids and then committed suicide, which everybody that knows him is saying it was a black op. Obviously.
But that's just creepy. You know, these guys don't just kill, you know, the people that they want to get rid of. They kill little kids, man. That's fucking creepy, sick.
Well, you know, if you've ever, I don't know if you've...
Maybe they were witnesses. Yeah. Can't leave the little kids as witnesses. Got to kill them. You know,
well,
fucking,
I mean,
what scumbags?
Well,
you know?
Satanic ritual abuse.
Exactly.
Actually, yeah, you've heard of that?
Yeah. Well, secret societies
run. Not particularly
run.
Conscientious about...
Oh,
about,
what was that guy's name up in the Presidio was molesting little girls back in the 80s?
Oh, yeah, Michael Aquino.
Yeah, they just let him go, you know?
Well, yeah, he was part of the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Yeah, exactly. Black Ops.
Just like the lead trainer for 9/11 was a member of SOCOM, the Special Operations Command, and he was also an FBI informant. You know, so there's obviously, and he's supposedly turned up missing now, and he's been working with the U.S. government since the 80s, starting with his background in Egyptian Islamic Jihad, which is like a, you know, sort of an Al Qaeda precursor.
Oh, is this the FBI guy? There was one guy that was like, he was able to get to the Islamics because he understood their religious point of view, and he became an embarrassment, and he got assigned to, you know, 9/11, the buildings, and went down with the buildings. That's another CIA trick.
Yeah, that's John O'Neill, I think.
I think
he might have been FBI or something.
Yeah, I think it was FBI. Yeah. But he was like one of the good guys. It's like Serpico. The good guys get whacked, so that's why he gets stuck with the bad cops, the bad CIA, and the bad military all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember listening to Dave Emery. He used to do One Step Beyond during the 80s. He would talk about they would also get this, all the same people would show up on the same plane, you know, and you know that plane is going down. You know, they get their reservations canceled. They all end up on the same plane, and they get easy to kill that way. But now they can do it just with computers through your CD player. It's fucked up, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's really frightening, especially, you know, just like given the fact that, I mean, there are two particular cases of the U.S. just in the last Well, I think Stuxnet was like 2010. So in the last, you know, like 3 years or so, the U.S. has gave Stuxnet to a terrorist group inside Iran, which is the biggest cyber attack ever, you know, active cyber warfare, you know, is the more accurate, you know, like label ever conducted by an extremely sensitive, you know, like weapon, Stuxnet virus. And that was given to a terrorist group called the MKO, which is known for killing Iranian civilians.
So they were sold this virus?
Well, it was given, I mean, MKO has, like, extensive contacts with Israeli intelligence, and it's kind of, like, just sort of a CIA, what is it exactly? It's officially like a Marxist organization that used to be allied with Saddam Hussein, that it's sort of, like, got these cult-like trappings, and it's just kind of weird, and it kills Iranian civilians, and it's an enemy of the Iranian government. But it just, you know, the whole
so that
point
makes
is,
it a friend of ours since we don't like Iran
now. And it's actually killed U.S. military leaders, and I think
Well, that gives them creds.
Yeah, and I think one U.S. civilian. But anyways, Rudy Giuliani met with them and had them taken off the terror list like a couple years ago. And, you know, a bunch of other officials, even though they've killed Americans, including military leadership.
Well, as long as they kill the military leaders that the good guys, you know, we want to keep getting bad guys in there for the coming coup. You know, I mean, they didn't get rid of Posse Comitatus to protect us from a handful of, you know, terrorists, or Canada's not going to. You don't need the military for that. Uh-huh. I mean, you could do an exemption for the CIA, maybe, mm-hmm. but yeah, they're going to use those against us.
Yeah, well, yeah,
but, and they're already using drones against us, right?
Yeah, well, I mean,
for surveillance.
Yeah, anything that's an asset, you know, would be used. But yeah, the MKO is basically a terrorist group that's killed Americans, and it got delisted as a terrorist group, and then it was handed the Stuxnet virus, and MKO infiltrated these Iranian nuclear energy plants. You know, there's obviously no Iranian nuclear weapons program, but you know that's a particularly
I don't
egregious.
I agree, but go ahead. well, everybody's always up to shit. Not, you know, it's not just our side. The other sides are also fucked up too.
Well, it just seems like, you know, based on the, you know, the documentation and stuff that I've seen, you know, there's no.
They want it. You know they want it. Everybody wants a nuke, you know.
I'd question the assertion, so far, you know, I mean, all the evidence I've seen points to there being a, you know, a peaceful nuclear energy program in Iran.
Okay.
You know, and you know, if they do want a nuke, like, why would, you know, they want it more than any other country with a peaceful nuclear energy program?
All countries want. That's what I believe. Yeah. You know, it's more power.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, just I think that's kind of disturbing that, you know, the U.S. would hand off, you know, such a sophisticated cyber weapon to a group that, mm-hmm. you know, is a terrorist group, and mm-hmm. then there's also.
So what did it do? It screwed up their nuclear power plants?
Yeah, it destroyed like something like 1,000 of the 6,000 centrifuges in Iran.
Oh, I think I heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, basically, like, there are these weight calculations or something that keep them spinning, you know, evenly. And, you know, there's something that, you know, basically made, you know, these changes in the system undetectable to the people monitoring it while the, like, centrifuges actually just spun out of control and they were actually physically destroyed. So it was, the first cyber attack that's actually, like, you know, had massive...
Hit a hard target.
This is
they've probably got all kinds of walls on their internet, and but somehow this virus got in.
Yeah, yeah, and it was then it escaped internationally. And then the other example would be the U.S. giving sarin gas, which is a chemical weapon, which is the definition of a weapon of mass destruction.
That group in Japan used it to kill a bunch of people in a subway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Om Shinrikyo. But you know, back to, you know, the sarin gas issue in Syria, it's being given to Al Qaeda, and you know, first of all, there's just the lie that the Syrian government, you know, which is just it's as stupid as saying that, like, you know, that Iraq was collaborating with Al Qaeda. Anybody that's, you know, a little bit educated would know that's just blatantly false, or that Iran harbors Al Qaeda or something. There is an Al Qaeda.
I mean, we gave
Iran,
money to Al Qaeda. I mean, we were supporting them when they were helping us against the Soviet Union back in the '80s.
Well, the U.S. still covertly supports Al Qaeda.
Sure,
Jandola,
I'm sure.
In the Baluchistan region of Iran is.
We have to have agents in there. I mean, it's always like that. They always infiltrate. You know.
Yeah, it's full of chock full of like double and triple agents.
Yeah, exactly.
And people that have CIA handlers. But yeah, I think that's just disturbing. Giving Stuxnet to the MKO and then giving sarin gas, which is a weapon of mass destruction, to Al Qaeda, Jabhat al Nusra. You know, it's Jabhat al Nusra that keeps getting caught with it. I think they've been caught like a couple times, and they've launched attacks. And it just
defies
logic that the Syrian government,
because that's like against crowds mainly, right? I mean, it's,
yeah, they've killed like upwards of 100 people with sarin gas. So that's such an it's like such a profoundly wrong war crime.
Yeah, it's a war crime,
and it shows that the U.S. is actually willing
committing war crimes on a regular basis.
Yeah, and is willing to use terrorist groups to. Use like advanced weaponry, and and just given the significance of September 11th, I think anybody that's caught on that maybe, you know, it's, you know, the officials, you know, just the Occam's razor explanation is that, you know, obviously, like, the FBI knew for several years, and that the people that were involved were protected by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, it's just like with the DEA, you know, they have to turn their heads sometimes.
Yeah, well, this
CIA
came to light.
Top.
Same thing in the Egyptian Revolution. You know, once they took over, they found out that there were terrorist groups sponsored by the Egyptian state, you know, against, like, blew up some church or something, and then they tried to cover it up, and everybody was suspicious there, and it turns out, yeah, it was a group by the national security of their country to just, you know, create the illusion that there's terrorists to justify the repression that follows.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And even in Egypt right now, I mean, during the recent military coup, there were like these weird unidentified people on the rooftops that, the people that got shot, after mm-hmm. the coup from the Muslim Brotherhood that were trying to have Morsi reinstated. Not that that's like the solution, but, they were shot. And it's probably, it's just by these unidentified people. And, it's been pointed out, it just wouldn't make sense, like, for the military, when it's surrounded by millions of people to, when it's actually, relatively popular at the time, to engage in, like, shooting civilians that are unarmed. Mm-hmm. And the same thing probably happened in Syria at the start of the protests in 2011. There were, like, unidentified people on the rooftops with, like, sniper rifles picking mm-hmm. off protesters. It just doesn't really make sense that they came out Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah. There were plans to do that at Occupy in America, too. There were
snipers. In Texas.
Yeah.
As part of Operation Tripwire.
Yeah, and they know this greenhouse effect is going to cause food riots in the future because they've already studied the CIA and the military, so they're gearing up to, put us all in internment camps and, shoot us from the rooftops.
Well, I mean, unless... I hope not. I think it all depends on whether people finally catch on that, like, covert support to Al-Qaeda and terrorism are the central part of, like, mm-hmm. U.S. foreign policy, especially in like, Central Asia and the Middle East.
Well, it isn't until, they lose their paycheck that people even give a shit. That's what powered Occupy. Now the economy's a little better. Occupy's disappeared. It's just how people are. They don't give a fuck, generally, the main public, as long as, their cash is cheap and, they can get paid for their job. But those jobs are still going overseas. So mm-hmm. It's going to come. This economy's going to collapse again.
Yeah, I think so.
They just bought it out with debt, and just kicked it down the road. That debt still has to be paid back.
Yeah. Hopefully an alternative kind of, economy can arise from that. That's my big wish. But I think any change for the better involves anti-imperialism and, like, awareness of what's mm-hmm. actually happening. And like in Iraq.
This is the corporation. I mean, they're not doing it for you and I. They're doing it for the corporations that have investments overseas so they can extract those oil or minerals and cheap labor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Al-Qaeda turns up wherever there's an oil investment that could be lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's actually part of a strategy that Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is the national security advisor to Jimmy Carter, thought up, which is basically, quote-unquote, balkanizing states, doing what happened to Yugoslavia as the pattern all around the world.
Divide and conquer?
Divide and conquer. Like, the idea with Iraq was, after inciting a civil war that would destroy the counterinsurgency, basically split it up into a Kurdish north, a Sunni, middle section, and then a Shia south, and the same strategy in Syria and Libya. It's to balkanize these so that they're split up along religious or ethnic lines.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's like a civil war based on ethnic cleansing and death squads, by like U.S. financed Al-Qaeda groups.
They're trying to do it here with racism too, with the Trayvon Martin trial and stuff like that. They want to get people ignoring the economic side of things and just focusing on a minor difference in skin color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that's the Nazi way. I mean, that's the Nazis infiltrated the CIA at the very beginning of the CIA, and they haven't left. I mean, those guys might be dead, but they hired their partners, and just like, getting a job in Santa Cruz, you get your friend a job or something.
Yeah, I've read a little bit about the Galen organization.
Yeah, Operation Paperclip. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so you mentioned a little bit about the Satanic Secret Societies, because, I mean, people think that this is just added on, but I think it's central to it. I mean, they're not just satanic; they're pagan, basically. They go way back in history to the before the pyramids, even, and mm-hmm. this is the way that fascism has controlled the world for thousands of years.
Well, I mean, my understanding from what I've read about satanic ritual abuse is that a lot of people, like Michael Aquino, for instance, like, he didn't really consider himself a Satanist. He was interested in, it was sort of like a cover for the MK Ultra program.
Mm-hmm. They're basically mind
studying,
control.
Yeah, how do you create multiple personalities? Well,
exactly.
You have to start young,
torturing little kids and sexually molesting them,
exactly.
So that they're so horrified that their personality splits, and then they use one of the other personalities to store information that can't be revealed under mm-hmm. torture.
Yeah, and this was, I mean, it happened. There was the McMartin preschool. There is the Presidio in San Francisco. There is Franklin Credit Union, which is like one of the most horrifying things I've
ever heard. That one.
Yeah, it's like the most horrifying thing I've ever read about.
What's that one? I'm not familiar.
It was this.
When did it happen?
Up and coming African American Republican named Lawrence King and a whole bunch of other people. But you know, this was like Lawrence King's credit union, basically, it was basically just, I mean, it was involved with like drug smuggling. It was involved with like, for the Contras, most likely.
Where was this?
It was in Nebraska, and it was covered up at the very highest levels of the state.
So this is in the 80s?
Probably, most likely, went all the way to George Bush, yeah.
of course. Everything
in the 80s. Yeah,
and they have Nazi connections. The Bush family has strong Nazi connections.
Prescott Bush.
Yeah, going way back. Yeah.
And something like 15 people connected to the case died under mysterious circumstances. So, I mean, that's a sign that it's a bona fide thing. And also, if you look at False Memory Syndrome Foundation people, they're all CIA.
I always look for the dead bodies. You know, that's how I did UFO research. You know, they stopped doing it after a while because it just becomes too obvious. So a bunch of people died. This is in the 80s?
It was in the 80s, all throughout the 80s. I think like 1987 is when people, like, there was first a financial scandal with Franklin Credit Union.
Uh-huh.
And, then it like was revealed that Larry King or Lawrence King had been like, you know, very politically connected, and he threw like, the biggest Republican party, fundraisers and parties and stuff. And he, he'd been like connected to Bush and, a whole bunch of other people. And I guess I think the name was Craig Murray. There was somebody else in DC who like was running an underage prostitution network also that had like ties to the White House. People came forward and,
So this was a school
or
something?
One of them had like, it was like,
where were they getting the kids?
13 personalities or something. They were just being abducted, I guess. Kidnapped, and like forced to have kids.
That sounds satanic.
Yeah, people from like foster homes and stuff.
Exactly.
This is like the most shocking thing I've ever learned about. Mm-hmm. But it's actually true.
I believe it's just like the Minotaur in ancient times. They would kill the Athenian children instead of the Minoan children. Uh-huh. They don't want to kill their own. They'd rather adopt someone.
It's gone a long way towards just kind of educating me on like how the military thinks, mm-hmm. and how the CIA and covert agencies.
This is just
think.
Small groups though within it. I mean, there's still some hope. I mean, I do believe they're going to do a coup d'etat in the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still decent people that would resist it within the military, because it's only like, because not everybody's going to go along with molesting little kids. I mean, mm-hmm. it's only a small minority will even consider that kind of fucking mm-hmm. shit.
I agree. I mean, it's really compartmentalized, and I think there are people out there, that are like, police officers, or they're in intelligence agencies, or the FBI has the ongoing, how many people know about Al-Qaeda's, there are a lot of FBI agents that still aren't in on it,
Those are the ones that get killed, too. They become inconvenient when they find out, start making noise about it, they get whacked.
Yeah.
Just like that guy you were talking about earlier, the reporter.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it's happened, but there are a lot of, people that got taken on by the FBI like after 9/11, or they were working for it before 9/11 or whatever, and mm-hmm. just didn't understand why they were being told to look the other way. there are people out there that actually seem to join these agencies and believe the rhetoric. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out,
because you either have to have dirt on somebody to get them to go along with this, or you're paying them extra money, so it becomes too expensive to pay everybody in the military extra money. So it's always just a small group that's it's that hierarchical pyramid thing. Small groups control everybody else, and they're easily. Once you know who they are, they can be gotten rid of mm-hmm. by these other people. I mean, not by us, because mm-hmm. we're just not in a position. Yeah, it's sick. It's sad, and that's our tax dollars at work.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're even going after the Fox reporters. He got busted for like. It used to be that. You had to prove that you actually wanted to aid the enemy, but now any information that might be possibly useful to the enemy gets you in jail if you report on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's I almost feel like, you know, just the, you know, some of the worst things that, you know, I can imagine about the government, they're probably not that far off. I mean, my guess is probably a lot of the psychological experimentations happening, you know, I mean, it's still continuing to the present, and it's, yeah, it's happening at places like Guantanamo Bay, yeah, and you know, a lot of the, you know, the so-called, like, you know, CIA prisons and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It was called Project Monarch, if you want to look it up on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of Project Monarch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess that, yeah, it probably is still, like...
Of course, they claim that they stopped doing it, but, you know, do they ever stop doing anything?
Yeah.
Does anybody ever get to leave the CIA? What's your mess? Like the, you know, it's like a biker club or something. You don't get to leave.
You're still a baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think I run some of his stuff, yeah. Yeah. He says it's all about the corporations. You know, if it's because of the internal economic system in the U.S. is the reason the CIA does those things. And that's, again, that goes back in history, you know, for the merchants, you know, traveling across the seas, fixing stuff and all this shit. It's just, it's sick.
Mm-hmm.
Sick, sick, sick. Yeah, so be careful what links you post. Make sure there's... The reason he's arrested because there was some credit information deeper in the link somewhere.
Yeah, this is Barrett Brown. There hasn't been any evidence, as far as I can tell, presented that he was part of the HB Gary hack. But there was, like, a big dump of data from this, and it revealed, you know, all sorts of scandalous behavior by, like, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Department of Justice and, you know, several, like, private, you know, intelligence firms or intelligence companies. But, he wasn't the one that, like, was involved, you know, as, like, the leading hacker or anything. He was a journalist, and he posted a link in an IRC, and that's what got him, like, taken down. And that's why he's facing the rest of his life, plus, like, you know, a few decades behind prison bars. And I think it's one of those cases where he's, like, being held without, like, trial. You know,
yeah, that's the other one, the NDIA or whatever. That's the other part of the posse coming out. Yeah, they could just grab you with no trial, you know. And,
yeah. And
you think the cops are bad? You know, wait till the military
criminal
takes over. Yeah, it's fucking nuts. Well, I mean... I'd like to see them try and, you know, indict us for providing information that the CIA is molesting little kids, you know.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Finders? That's another real winner from the CIA. Oh, yeah. This was, I think it was in the late 80s that it was uncovered also, but there were some adults and, you know, with, like, you know, some kind of feral-looking children in Florida, I think it was.
Yeah.
And somebody called the cops on them, and they had this, like, van, and... the cops showed up, and they were traced to this group called the Finders in Washington, D.C., which is basically like a front group for the... Well, I mean, you know,
another mind control experiment.
After they raided the warehouse, and they found, you know, just like, again, you know, just, you know, like photos of satanic rituals and animal sacrifice. And
you know,
like,
the FBI...
unspeakable abuse and stuff.
Today, this claims there are no Satanists in the USA, just like they used to claim that there was no mafia when the mafia had pictures of Hubert Hoover giving some guy a blowjob. You know, it's like, why? I'm sure there are. You know, why haven't you found any? Oh, because you're involved in them as well, you know, of course.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So what did they had... So these kids, continue the story.
Yeah, I mean, basically, police stumbled on a giant child trafficking operation. There was, like, an international operation. The cover story that I guess the guys in Florida gave was that they were about to take the children to Mexico, and they were going to start a school for brilliant children. But I mean, it was like a CIA front group, and it was, like, well established, and they like went through the whole, you know, warehouse in D.C. and. You know, there were, like, you know, all these, like, I mean, there's just extensive documentary evidence of, like, the worst things you can imagine, you know, and extensive, like, documentary evidence. And they were going to, you know, like, serve an indictment, but then it got covered up. There is one U.S. News, or whatever the newspaper is called. That was, like, the only mainstream media outlet to cover it. And there was this one story, and that was the end of it. But it actually happened. It's one of those things that just speaks volumes about what the CIA does. Mm-hmm. You know, and
it's the Nazi connection. I mean, I believe the Nazis developed time travel into World War II with their anti-gravity device. But I think that it's not just the secular side of it. I think there is evil spirit entities involved in this that also helps to protect them and stuff. You know, that's partly why you don't hear anything about it, because there is other people that would want to bring this out, but all of a sudden it never gets into the news. You know, hardly.
Yeah. I mean, it is, yeah, just looking at the, like, the magnitude of what a scandal that would be, you know,
oh,
if that
yeah.
had actually gotten out.
That would be it for the CIA.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be it, you know. Yeah. Kennedy's all breaking into 1,000 pieces, you know, no, this would be worse than that. They'd be hunted down by, you know, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what got me interested in just, like, looking, you know, I mean, that and, you know, the Boston bombing and stuff and finding out that, you know, like, the older, you know, brother was probably a member of Imarat Kavkaz.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was. Know. Well, but what's his name? Alex Jones had all these other pictures of, you know, mercenaries with backpacks, and then the FBI guys, don't look at the other pictures, you know, don't look at the man behind the curtain, you know, obviously there's something going on, mm-hmm. and they're covering it up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised Alex Jones doesn't get whacked.
Well, I think, I don't know, I've heard him on the radio, and I just, I don't know, like, he's
right wing.
Yeah, he seemed, I mean, I think it could be just because of the way he spins information, you know.
Yeah. But I think it was embarrassing to them because they, you know, they wanted to, and yeah. they had to change it to the Chechnyans.
Yeah, he does get a lot of stuff right, you know. Yeah. I mean,
and then what about the bombing at Waco? I mean, that was so obviously, you know, almost to the day, the 20th anniversary of the government, you know, invading Waco. Uh-huh. Clearly, that was right wing extremist group behind that, but yet we hear nothing about it, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, anymore. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's consistent with just sort of the general pattern of Gladio, use violence to manipulate the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, this goes back way, way, way back. Families, it's usually families, like the Bush family. It continues to, they molest their children. They molest their own children, you know, to keep the secret and all that shit. It's disgusting. I mean, yeah, the Bushes should be deported, you know.
Yeah. The Bush family is pretty...
Yeah, their name always comes up in these. You know, they Hinckley, you know, is going to go to dinner with one of them, the guy that shot Reagan, you know?
Yeah,
come on.
They all work for World Vision, right?
Something. It's like, what the fuck? And Hinckley was probably a Project Monarch, you know, molested his little kid. And then when Bush was running for president, he started cutting his face and stuff because the election was up in the air. And I go, that's, you know, cutting is a sure sign of a child that's been molested, you know, and people
really?
Do that. Yeah. So where were
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, you know, just like. Yeah, I think after, like, looking into, you know, just, like, the Franklin Credit Union and all that mm-hmm. stuff, and it's like, wow, yeah, it really did happen. So I guess, you know, things, it doesn't seem that far-fetched. And, you know, these people like Lawrence King, he was, you know, he was sort of, like, you know, a very high-profile figure. And, you know, I guess, you know, sort of like a, you know, somebody that apparently knew a lot of politicians, including George Bush. I mean, there are people yep. that actually testified to seeing George Bush at, like, some of his parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
A little kid on his lap. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, that's just so fucking... Well, the RNC, he is a member of Skull and Bones. I mean, that's well-documented. A Bavarian secret society. That's a German secret society. It's just sick. But, you know, what is that Irish, old Irish saying? If you want to know how God feels about money, just look at the people he gives it to.
Uh-huh. yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, stay safe, Tom.
Okay.
I think we're protected because there's only 2 listeners and they got to spend $50,000 to pay somebody to kill you, so... I think we're protected on that front, as long as you don't get in Rolling Stone or anything with a large circulation.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Well, just be careful on the solstices, May Day, and Halloween. And anytime a lot of planets are in the Earth-Saturn node, which is between 23 and 25 degrees or so of Cancer and Capricorn. That's when they always come after me. So next year they'll be coming after me because Jupiter is in that.
Okay. Yeah. I heard the Pentagon opened for business on like a major occult... It was like Halloween or... All Souls.
It's like I said,
something.
It's the secrets, the satanic, not necessarily satanic, pagan secret societies that let's look at, you know, that goes way back. They're the ones who are actually in control, and then we, you know, some people think that the military is just using that as a, you know, mind control kind of thing. But no, that's a critical part of it. They're the ones that are really in control, and they're using black magic, you know, and they do it like the Bilderberg Society was formed on the same day as a very important eclipse where Jupiter was conjunct the Sun in June 30th, 1954.
Well, I'm more agnostic on the magic side of it. I don't have any evidence either way, but I'll look into it.
It's the quantum fluctuation. It says
okay.
They access it with dusty plasma ghosts.
Okay.
And that's That's my view on it.
Okay.
And that's an original view. I don't think anybody else has. Well, I've seen the dusty plasma for ghosts, but not as a way of accessing the quantum vacuum. And that's what the Nazis were doing. They made a wormhole with their anti-gravity devices and traveled in time and went back to 10,943, and their ship blew up, and then probably went to other places. I mean, you can't just go to any single year. I think there's certain, it skips or something to certain.
Where do you get the information from this? Is it like a book?
No, I do my own research.
Okay.
I knew because there's magnetism involved and there's spinning involved, so I know that the precession probably had something to do with it. So I was looking at 10,943, so I just dropped the 43 part. No, 10,900, oh, there was a big explosion over to the North American continent, you know, because this technology also can create huge bombs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because we're surrounded by the quantum vacuum is loaded with all kinds of energy. If you could just extract it, generally you do it with resonance or magnetism type things. This is the most top secret. This is why I get hassled for this kind of stuff. And I'll be hopefully doing this show with a university professor sometime in August on this, if he survives. I wanted to just do the show and get out of town before the NSA knew what was up, but he was on vacation. So. But that's where the magic comes in, too. There's some science behind it. It's just a science. That's what magic is. I mean, it's science that we didn't understand back then. You know, in the Bible, they talk about that guy on, what was it, Mount Carmel or something, with his duel with the pagans, and he put water all over the sacrifice, and suddenly it lit on fire. Well, he was using quicklime, obviously, you know, and that causes a fire when it gets wet. But to them, it was magic. But to us now, it's just standard science.
That view of magic. It's just science people don't understand.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that's why I'm always looking. And then these people are, like I say, they're hit up to their necks in that shit, you know? That's why they get to torture the little kids, you know, that feeds the fucking demons. You know, they feed on pain, but they don't like percussive noises. So anytime you hurt yourself, just clap next to it, and you fucked up that demon, and it can't feed any, and it won't be fucking up your future.
Okay. I'm going to have to do some research into
this is all original stuff. Well, I don't want to go into it. I've gone to another show. There's some shows on dusty plasmas on the archives at Free the Land. You can look into them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, good interview.
All right. Thanks again. Yeah. This has been Free the Land. Well, there'll be more.